The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Rasulullah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa sahabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in this series of programs, if this is the first time that you're watching, in this series of programs, we aim to look at our rich heritage. Yes, the Muslim rich heritage. We aim to look at the past, look at our pious predecessors, look at the times of the companions of the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at their lives, look at the pious predecessors and learn something from their lives. Learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today so that we can have a better tomorrow. But before we begin and introduce the topic of the day, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The intention of doing this is that our viewers become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. They remember these blessings. They pass on these blessings to other people to encourage other people to recite Durood-e Pak as well. And today's blessing is such that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that whoever recites Salat upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, he shall gain my intercession. Allahu Akbar. He shall gain my intercession on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. How hard is it to recite Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam? How hard is it to recite it 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening? And what such a great reward you will get for such a simple task. So please, viewers of my channel, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. I remember speaking to a certain individual, and this individual, he said to me that there are very, very few places. In fact, he only mentioned three places in the world where he has found spiritual comfort when he has visited them places. And one place is obviously the resting place of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam. And the other is the resting place of the pious predecessor that we're going to mention today. But before we mention who this person is, I'm going to give you a little incident that took place in his life, just an introduction of an incident that took place. It is stated that it was the evening and the darkness of night began to fall upon everything. A traveler with no goods and only a staff in his hand, wearing a thick, worn out and coarse clothing, was on a journey. He reached a colony and decided to spend the night there at such a place where he saw some people who were apparently looking religious and were looking more prosperous than him as well. And so without any intentions, he sat there, and as soon as they saw this worried man, one of them questioned him in a harsh tone. And they said, "Who are you? Who are you?" And they questioned him in a harsh tone. And he replied politely, he said, "I am a traveler and want to stay here the night." And they all started laughing and said, looking down upon him, "He's not from us." Upon hearing this, the traveler felt happy, and he replied, "Certainly, I am not from you." And when the night fell, one of them brought a dry piece of bread and placed it before him, and then joined the party of his friends, enjoying all sorts of delicious foods. And they would laugh as they saw the traveler eating the dry bread, and they would throw eaten skins of millet in him. These people kept insulting him the whole night until the morning. But that young man, who was patient and grateful, patiently and happily endured their ill treatment without even reacting even once. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mother Channel, the pious saint that we are talking about now, the pious saint that we just mentioned in that incident there, was none other than Sayyidina Datta Ganj Baksh Ali Haji Veri Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. So without further ado, viewers of Mother Channel, I want to introduce to you a little bit about who this great person is. His name, viewers of the channel, is Ali, and his father's name is Usman. His lineage is linked to Sayyidina Imam Hassan Mujtaba radiallahu ta'ala through six relations, and his kunyat is Abul Hassan, and his famous title is Ganj Baksh. And the reason for this is that Sayyidina Mu'iddin Chishti Ajmeri Sanjari Rahmatullahi ta'ala observed a taqaf at his shrine for some time, and after receiving benefits from him, he gave him this title of Datta Ganj Baksh. And the title given by Sayyidina Sultan-e-Hind, Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz, rahmatullahi ta'ala, has been echoed all over the world, all over the subcontinent today. And even today, some people are unaware of his true name, but only remember him by the title of Datta Ganj Baksh. Allahu Akbar. So this is who we're going to talk about today, viewers on the channel. Now, before we carry on, a little bit I just want to mention there, that as we saw from the pious predecessors, and in this particular incident, that Datta Sahib, rahmatullahi ta'ala, that when people would insult him, people would abuse him, people would laugh at him, people would mock at him, he would take this patiently. He would take all of this patiently. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, viewers of the channel, indeed, Allah is with those who patiently endure. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 153. So these people of the past, they taught us this lesson. Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us in the Quran that those people, indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla is with those who patiently endure. But we see from the people of the past how they patiently endured it. And we see that these people of the past that sacrificed their lives in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they had to endure hardships. None of them had an easy life. No, I'm not going to say to you here, viewers of Munchan, that if you want to travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you want to sacrifice your life in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's going to be easy life. No. You know, the greater the test, the greater the reward. You know, they say that if you go to school and you pass your GCSEs, you'll be able to get a sort of job. If you want to get a better job, then you have to pass your A-levels. If you want to get even better job, you have to pass your degree, your master's degree. And the harder the qualification, the harder the test, the greater the reward. In the same way, viewers of the channel, in this dunya, the greater the test that we endure patiently, inshallah, the reward is with us. And we can see from our pious predecessors that whenever they were insulted, whenever they were afflicted by any affliction, they were thankful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They not only showed patience, but they were also thankful in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And viewers of Munchan, there is the lesson for us today. That these people of the past, they showed patience. And that's something that we need to learn. We need to learn to show patience no matter what problem we face, viewers of Munchan. And today what happens is what happens is we start complaining. Why is it happening to me? Why has it not happened to him? He seems to have it easy all the time. Why is it my bad luck? Why is he always getting the good luck? And these are the complaints that we come out with. We constantly complain about things rather than patiently enduring and thinking to yourself that whatever problem is put in front of me, it has been sent to me from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And now it is a test for me. Do I patiently endure this? Do I show patience at this time? Do I also show thankfulness at this time? Yes, show thankfulness. How should I show thankfulness, beauty of viewers of the channel? We should look at others. Look at others who are not as fortunate as we are. No matter how unfortunate you are, no matter how low you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how hungry you are, no matter how many problems you are facing today, look around you. Look around you and you'll see people that are facing greater problems than we are. Here, I can think that maybe 99.99%, probably 100% of all the viewers that are watching this program have got a shelter. The fact that you're watching this program means that you have electricity. The fact that you're watching this program means that you have some sort of device to be able to watch you on, be it a mobile phone, be it a PC tablet, or be it a television. The fact that you're watching this device means that you have some sort of connection to either a satellite where you're watching this channel, or you've got some sort of connection to the internet. And to have that, you must have some sort of house or some sort of lodging or something where you are staying. So if you have all of these things and nothing else, then you are better off than a greater population of the whole world. There are people around the world that do not have access to these things that we have just mentioned. And if you can afford a mobile phone, if you can afford a PC tablet, if you can afford internet, if you can afford a TV, then inshallah, hopefully, you'll be able to afford food, you'll be able to have a cup of tea, like I've been sent a cup of tea today. But think to yourself, when this cup of tea was made, the brothers here, the technical team made this cup of tea for me. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward them for this. What did they do? They turned the tap. Water came out. What a great blessing. People, even today, people around the world have to travel miles and carry water and bring it to the household. And then in the household, they put it in drums. Places where you would think that water is readily available, cities around the world are getting scarcity of water. And even major cities, we're not just talking about deserts now, no, we're talking about cities now. Cities that are having scarcity of water and they're going to have to go and get water. Then what did they do? they filled the kettle. And when they filled the kettle, they hit the button at the bottom. And that switched on the kettle and it boiled the kettle. They had electricity. There are many, many places around the world that have, you know, breakages of electricity, that they only have electricity for 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day. And it's common to them. They get used to it, where for many hours a day, they don't have electricity. So all of these are blessings to us. So why should we not be thankful in the court of Allah? But instead of that, instead of being thankful, we get a little prick in our finger. The tea's too hot or something happens, yeah? And we show ingratitude. We show impatience. And viewers of my channel, we need to be patient. We need to be patient with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed upon us. With regards to Data Ali Hajveri, Ramatullah Ta'ala, that he gained high ranking levels by studying from some great scholars. And it said that he traveled to many, many, many places, viewers of my channel, to many places and many countries, including Kirman, Sistan, Turkestan, Muawra in Nahar, Khuzestan, Tabrizistan, Azerbaijan, Persia, Iraq, Syria, Palestine, and Hijaz, Muqaddas, Makkah, and Medina. Now, these places and these cities that I just mentioned, we probably don't even know all of these places existed. I didn't. I didn't know where some of these places exist. Some of these names are new to me. But these people of the past, they traveled so far to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And they traveled at a young age, they sacrificed it. He completed his knowledge, viewers of the channel, at a very young age. The status of his knowledge can be estimated from this incident that it was related that once he was in the presence of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi Sayyidina Data Ali Hajveri, Ramatullah Ta'ala, and he had a discussion with a non-Muslim philosopher. And he, by virtue of his scholarly competence, silenced him by giving outstanding answers. Though he was very young, and it stated that if this discussion is supposed to be made in the last year of Sultan Mahmud Ghaznavi, then he, Ramatullah Ta'ala, was approximately 20 years of age. At such a young age, he had a great grasp of knowledge. But again, what amazes me, viewers of my channel, and this is something that we need to learn from, that these people of the past, when it came to acquiring the knowledge of the deen, the sacrifices that they made, it said that he traveled to more than 10 countries, Iraq, Syria, Hijaz, and he made many, many difficult journeys. And at that time, think about it, viewers of my channel, when the people of the past traveled, how did they travel? Yeah, they had first class tickets. They went to the airport, got on a plane, landed, and then they went there. And then they got an AC car, took them to the place where the college was. They learned they're staying in an AC room. No. This didn't happen, viewers of my channel. Just to travel in the past was such a harsh experience, traveling. Traveling from one place to another was such a harsh journey. Viewers of my channel, if any of you have been blessed to visit the sacred lands of Makkah and Madinatul Munawwarah, then whenever you travel between these two places, I don't know if you've realized this, but when you travel between these two places, be it on train or be it on by road, look at the terrain to your left and to your right. It's a harsh, rough terrain. And that is just one journey that the pious predecessors made many, many, many times. All of these people traveled to the sacred city of Makkah. Then they traveled to the resting place of the sacred city of Medina. And it wasn't an easy journey. Nowadays, we get on a coach, travel 4 or 5 hours, we're tired, we complain that the coach took too long, we complain that the coach stopped at a wrong place where there wasn't food, good food, we've complained that the AC is not working on the coach, and we make these journeys. Whereas these people of the past, when they made these journeys, want to acquire the knowledge of the deen, what harsh terrain they had to face. Not only that, viewers of my channel, that they run the risk of being robbed on the way, they run the risk of hardship on the way, they run the risk of being separated from the caravan that was on the way. It was such a harsh, dangerous journey to make. And I think about it, viewers of Manishtal, that if today we didn't have the ease of transport that we have got today, would we have the jazba inside us and the enthusiasm inside us to travel to acquire the knowledge of the deen in them circumstances? And you know what, viewers of Manishtal? I don't think we have. And the reason why I say this, viewers of Manishtal, is that nowadays, when we say to each other, when we invite people to travel in the way of Allah for 3 days, you're not traveling on a camelback, you're not traveling on foot, you're traveling in a car, you're traveling in a minibus, you're traveling by train, you may be even traveling by plane.
I'll get tired, you know, 3 days, I'll come back shattered. I won't be able to do that. I can't make that journey. 3 days, no. We cannot sacrifice 3 days to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And these people spent a great portion of their life traveling to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And it makes me think, why is it that we are not willing? Or why is it we've not got that thirst inside us for the knowledge of the deen? And you know why? Why I think, maybe I'm wrong, views on my channel, and maybe you can come up with various reasons. And inshallah, we're going to talk to Shahbaz Madani. Maybe he'd come up with a different reason as well. Here in the UK, I mentioned two things in the UK earlier on. I mentioned the fact that we have running water and electricity, these lights are on about us. Because we have it readily available, we take it for granted. And you see here in places like the UK and in the Western world that they waste electricity. They leave lights on longer than they should be. They leave the taps running longer than they should be. And we waste it. Why? Because we find it readily available. It's so readily available, we don't value it. Whereas if you go to a place where water is scarce, then you'll see them that they'll use the minimum amount to wash themselves. They'll use the minimum amount to clean things. They'll use the required amount to drink. They won't waste any water. They won't waste any electricity. But here we waste it. And maybe viewers on the channel, that because knowledge has become readily available, we do not value it anymore. And because we don't value it anymore, then we're not willing to sacrifice any time to acquire that knowledge. And viewers on the channel, that is where we are going wrong. Because we don't value knowledge. And I've just mentioned water and electricity. Water and electricity, no comparison whatsoever in comparison to knowledge. But we don't value knowledge. We don't realize the importance of knowledge. Why? Because it's so readily available. I have got on here more than 500 books or booklets or beyonds or whatever. I've got this on a little PC tablet. How hard was that for me? Even before this, you know, I downloaded a new book that came on Dawud Islami's website. I downloaded the new book before I came here. How hard was it? I didn't have to travel miles and miles to download that book or to get that book. I didn't have to pay that money. I didn't have to work hard for that. Pressed a few buttons and I downloaded the book. And because of that, viewers of my channel, because our knowledge is readily available, we don't value it. And yet, viewers of my channel, specifically for those English-speaking people now that don't understand the language of Urdu, I remember growing up in this country that when we were young, in my house, I'll tell you about my house. In my house, we had one copy of an English translation of the Quran. And we had one copy, one book that had the translation of the namaz in it. And we valued them two books so much. Why? Because they were the only books that we had and they were the only books that were readily available. And I remember, viewers of the channel, that when Dawat Islami took this task upon themselves to start translating the books and they started translating the first books of Amir al-Sunnah and they came, the translation department came. And I remember when the first books were printed and they came to the UK, people grabbed all the books and they put them to their hearts and they would walk around holding the books like this. You know, they valued them so much. And they would keep a record of all the books and they would put them on the shelves and they would continuously read these books. We're going to go to a small break now, and inshallah, there's a beautiful kalam. There is a beautiful kalam I love listening to, and I believe that the majority of you will also enjoy listening to us, this particular kalam. I'm going to enjoy it. You also enjoy as well. Let's listen to this kalam. And inshallah, when we come back, I'm hoping that we'll have Shahbaz Madani with us on the line and we'll continue discussing this topic. Let's go to the kalam of the day. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
من شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں میری عقل وی نہیں میری شکل وی نہیں مینو یار مناون دا ڈھنگ وی نہیں میری عقل وی نہیں میری مینو یار منا ڈھنگ بھی نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میرا عشق بھی رومی ورگا نہیں میری جامی ورگی ٹور نہیں پر مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا میرے دل وچوں جاندا چور نہیں تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے تیرے عشق دا آقا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں تیرے ذکر دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے عشق دے چرچے عرشاں تے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے میرے آقا تیرا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے جے دل وچ عشق نبی دا نہیں تیری روشن ہونی گور وی نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں
صلو علی الحبیب
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Beautiful kalamda recited by Abdul Abi by our Rukni Shura, mashallah, about the thirst that we should have of visiting the city of Medina, the attachment that we should have, the love that we should have. You know, the more and more, you know, we've got, inshallah, we're going to have Shabazz Madani on the line in a minute, inshallah. And Shabazz Madani's Urdu is a lot better than mine. But with my limited Urdu, you know, I can only understand a little bit of the words. And this particular one, because it was in the language of Punjabi, I can probably understand it a little bit more. But the main purpose of these kalams, the main purpose of them is to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, be it through anything that's associated to him, be it through the city of Medina, be it through his sacrifices, be it through anything, it's to instill the love. And that is part of our iman, viewers on the channel. And this particular kalam is one of those kalams that, you know, it's not a sort of kalam that you could want to sit and listen to when there's, I don't know, 50 people or 100 people. It's one of those kalams that you want to sit in a room on your own, switch the light off, and just close your eyes, listen to the kalam, and pray and wish that Allah Azza wa Jalla puts your name on the list of those fortunate people that will be able to visit the city of Medina very, very soon. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But anyway, back to the program of the day. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And today we're talking about Data Ali Hajveri Ramatullah Ta'ala. And online, mashallah, as every day, mashallah, he's been giving us time. Shabazz Madani is online, I believe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Data Ali Hajveri Ramatullah Ta'ala. I was just wanting to mention something to you, Shabazz, but I don't know if you saw it. But there was a person I met in this country, and he's passed away about 4 years ago. And I'm not going to mention his name on the channel, but in my mind, he was probably the most, probably one of the best scholars, one of the greatest scholars in the UK. And he said to me that there are three places in the world that he has been where he has felt inner peace when he has gone there. One is obviously the city of Medina. Whenever he visits the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finds inner peace. The other place is where Mulana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi ta'ala is resting in Konya, in Turkey. And the third is in Data Darbar, in Lahore. He goes there and he says, I find this inner peace. These are the three places in the world that whenever I visit this place, I find an inner peace. I find a spiritual upliftment. And without doubt, it must be because of the way these people live their lives and the legacy that they have left behind.
SubhanAllah. Khalid bhai, in terms of just this itself, I have my own experience. And alhamdulillah, whenever I think of the Data Ali Hajveri, radiallahu ta'ala an, firstly, he was no ordinary person. He wasn't generally even the spiritual guide you think of. He was above that. He was greater. He's, in fact, one of the earliest, amongst the earliest Sufis. It was even before the great Peer of all Peers, Hazrat Mubasif Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani, radiallahu ta'ala an. But Khalid, by in terms of this serenity, this feeling when going to their darbar, alhamdulillah, I spent some time in Pakistan. And it would be a practice of mine that every single Friday, I would go to this darbar every single Friday. Allah. So, and alhamdulillah, Friday was our day off from Jamiatul Medina whilst I was studying there. On Fridays, I would always go to Data Darbar, alhamdulillah, every single Friday, sometimes more than, you know, once a week, twice, thrice, even nearly every day sometimes. But always I used to try on a Friday. And when I used to go on a Friday, I used to open my books there. I would open my book and I would study. You're being there yourself with the actual shrine, and then there's some pillars there, and I would just lean against the pillars. Khalibah, there's a few things, but one, and this is, Allahu Akbar, it may make you smile. I hope it doesn't make you smile, though. SubhanAllah. I was just sitting there one day, and Khalibah, sometimes you're not hungry, but when you see somebody else eating something, sometimes you think, I could do with some of that.
Yes. Yeah.
This is just one of the things which stuck in my mind. That's why it's mentioned, it's happened many times to me. But what happened was a person was eating bananas, and I was reading. I looked up and I saw that person eating a banana, and just a thought crossed my mind. Really, I didn't think of it over it. Honestly. After that once, I didn't think about it. I felt like I could do the banana. I'll probably go grab one. You know, I'll take a break later and I'll probably go get one. So what happened was I continued reading, and there were many other people there. Alhamdulillah, whenever I went, whatever time it was I went, during the day, night, early morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, whatever the time is, there's always a rush. And there were many people sitting there. And that person was, you know, this, without exaggeration, 10 people between me and that person.
Allah.
And whilst I was reading just randomly, he comes up to me. He didn't ask other people. He comes up to me and says, would you like a banana? And I accepted. It just, I saw somebody eating it. The thought crossed my mind. And he just comes and offers me. He walks past other people and he comes and offers me.
Allah.
I'm just thinking, subhanAllah. But Khalid Bhai, that's not the greatest experience I've had there. The greatest experience I can say I've had there, Khalid Bhai, is when I went to Pakistan to study. Now here, you have desks, tables, chairs, we've got everything, you know, carpets on the floor too. And when I went to Pakistan, there were no desks and chairs. We had to sit on the floor, but on the floor, there was no carpet. It was a hard floor. And I would have to sit there. And I was not used to sitting. Even here in the United Kingdom, on the carpet, I couldn't sit properly. And my class fellows, I used to be leaning against the wall. I couldn't sit properly. And whilst I was there, I was finding it difficult. Now, as time went by, my situation got a lot worse. It became very, very bad. So bad that now I could no longer sit on my knees. I couldn't sit on my knees. I had to sit up. You may have seen some people reading, like, whilst I was praying, I had to sit up. Whilst I was sitting down, I had to lift my legs up. I had to lift my knees up. One day what happened is the Friday came and I went to Dada Dabar, radiallahu ta'ala an. And I took out my books. I took my books with me. I took my books out and I began to read. But the way I was sitting there was I was sitting against a pillow and I had my knees up. My knees were up. I think I said I was sitting against a pillow. I was sitting against a pillar and my knees were up. And there was an old man there who was cleaning. He was doing the brush. And when he saw me, he started shouting at me. He's like, what do you think it is? How dare you sit like this in such a place? You know, I'll just stay quiet. And then Khalid Bhai, I sat properly. And honestly, wallahi, Allah, alhamdulillah. When I sat down, I sat in the position of tashahud. And ever since then, maybe if I get tired, that's a separate matter. But ever since then, alhamdulillah, I've never found any knee pain or difficulty in sitting on the floor.
Allah.
Really.
Allah.
And I remember when I went the next day to class, even I myself, I forgot. I forgot about it. And everyone's like, you're sitting properly. I thought your legs were messed. In fact, it was so bad that in a way, I was finding it difficult to go read with Jamal. That's how bad it was. I totally forgot. And then I said, yes, alhamdulillah, yesterday. And then that's what came to mind. I thought, it must have been from there. Because as soon as I sat there, everything was fine.
Oh,
and honestly, this, you know, when it comes to this topic about Hazrat Data Ali Hajwiri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, like you mentioned about that scholar, and he found that there were three places. Yes, you go to the blessed shrine of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that feeling I've not felt elsewhere. But I felt it in that place where Hazrat Data Ali Hajwiri, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is, and undoubtedly, this is the feeling, it's a feeling granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because of that individual's closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you go there, many people have told me too. I remember sharing this with other people. They said, I remember we were hungry, we went there straight away, somebody invited us to have food. It's something on another level, Khalid Bhai. I think it's something which is not easy to explain. Something where you would have to go there and only then can you, you know, understand. I remember when I first went to perform Umrah and I was looking at the Gumbaz Sharif. The same happened in Makkah al-Mukarramah. I was looking at the Ka'bah al-Mukarramah and I remember my phone was full. Hundreds and hundreds of pictures I took. Really. But no matter how many pictures I took, I couldn't capture the image.
Right.
This is exactly how I felt when I went there too. And I'm just thinking how many other places, alhamdulillah, I've been to many places. I possibly not spend as much time in those other places. So it wouldn't be a fair study, you can say. It wouldn't be a fair comparison. But generally, alhamdulillah, I have really... In fact, there is another place, Khalid Bhai, but inshallah, we'll save that for another time.
I was mentioning before the break, Shahbaz Bhai, that, you know, he visited many, many places, you know, 10 countries. And, you know, I mentioned some of these places that he visited to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And as I mentioned, that if we look at the people of the past, any of our pious predecessors, and here we're talking about someone that was approximately 1,000 years ago, he was born in 400 al-Hijri, so more than 1,000 years ago, that at that time, obviously, the transport wasn't easy. It wasn't easy to make these journeys. But they made these journeys, didn't they? They traveled on these journeys, and it wasn't as if, like, they could get there in a couple of hours. And they made these journeys that took days, weeks. And, you know, nowadays, people have these online maps that you can go and look at where you find out how long it takes you to get from, I don't know, you're in Leeds now, I'm here in Bury in Manchester. I can go on the maps now and find out how long it would take me to get to you. Before you make that journey tomorrow, yeah, change the setting to be on foot. Yeah, you're traveling by car, change it to on foot and see how long it will take you to get here. Yeah, and then think to yourself that these people of the past, they didn't travel in the cars like me and you are traveling. They're traveling on foot or on camel or on horseback or whatever it is, and how long it would take them to make them journeys. But then the question is why did they make them journeys? They didn't make them journeys for pleasure, in the sense that pleasure as in worldly pleasures, i.e. going on a holiday, chilling or whatever it was. They made them journeys to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And we see, you know people of the past that travel great distances just to acquire, you know, the knowledge of one hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But nowadays, Shahbaz Bhai, as I was saying, that nowadays we don't value knowledge. We don't have that thirst to acquire the knowledge. MashaAllah, Allah azza wa jalla has blessed you that you've had that thirst, and you continuously have that thirst, and you're continuously reading. But generally speaking, if you look outside, Shahbaz Bhai, that as a Muslim community as a whole, knowledge is lacking because we haven't got that thirst of the knowledge. And maybe we haven't got that thirst of the knowledge because we don't understand how important that knowledge is.
Khalid Bhai, sometimes when you're given everything and when things are easily acceptable, you don't appreciate them as much.
Yeah.
In regards to distance, it said it from Makkah al-Mukarramah to al-Madinah al-Munawwarah, when after the Hijri, when Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-Kareem was to remain behind in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he came and later when he himself migrated also after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that he took him 3 days. This was one man alone, Hazrat Ali radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. It took him 3 days approximately to come to al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. And it's also said that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the 8th year after Hijri, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam opened Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah, some people said conquered or performed the fath, the opening of Makkah Al-Mukarramah, it took the army approximately 10 days to travel. So for a huge group, an army who's going to be traveling together 10 days, just from Makkah Al-Mukarramah to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah.
I've just had a quick look now, even on today's today, I've just looked at the maps now. It's saying that if a person walks continuously and doesn't stop, then today it would be 4 days and 15 hours of continuous walking. So if he was to walk for 12 hours a day, and this is on foot, it would take him 8 days. If he's walking 12 hours a day, it would take eight days to travel between Makkah and Medina at the moment on foot. 500 kilometers on foot, and it's stating here 4 days and 5 hours of non-stop walking, i.e. if you were to walk 12 hours a day, then it'd be 8 days and 10 hours of walking.
Last year, during the Hajj period, I tried to do as much of it as, you know, walking as possible. So sometimes we're walking, mashallah, for hours, but there's still a huge difference because now there's pathways for walking.
Yes.
The roads are different.
But again, the question is though, but how can we then, okay, I mean, I know it's not talking about that ourselves specifically, but how can we generate that thirst inside us for knowledge? Or how can we understand the importance of knowledge? Or even better still is, you know, if you could explain to us what knowledge we have to obtain. Because obviously, you know, the question would be, why do I need to acquire knowledge? The knowledge is of the scholars. Let the people like Shahbaz Madani acquire the knowledge of the deen. Let him pass on the knowledge. What knowledge do I need to attain? I don't need to acquire knowledge, do I?
There's two things to this. Firstly, in regards to those things which are necessary. So those things which are necessary actions, those things which are necessary upon a person, it's also necessary for him to seek knowledge. So, for example, praying salah, it's farz upon every individual, it's obligatory. So similarly, it's obligatory to seek knowledge in order for you to be able to pray your salah properly. So the same would come to zakat. It would be obligatory upon you to learn about the fundamental rulings of zakat. And this is with everything. Those things which are necessary, which are obligatory, it's obligatory to, for you to seek knowledge about attaining it. Those things which are wajib, it is wajib for you to seek knowledge pertaining it. But the second thing you mentioned, Khalid, by about possessing this thirst, I don't think it's something easy. And I'm going to mention why. There are so many people out there, there are so many students out there, but how many of them are actually interested in whatever it is, whatever field they're in, whether it's university, whatever it may be. But we become interested when there's a reason for us to be interested. So I think there needs to be a reason for us to be interested. Initially, as I mentioned to you before, that I did not have any intention to complete the years of Dars-e Nizami, to even complete the course. I thought I'll just go there for 1 year. But alhamdulillah, what happened is that thirst of knowledge was a little by a little, it was built. How was that thirst of knowledge? Because one thing is the environment. I won't get into the environment. The second thing, Khalid, by is it's personal a lot of times. This is what I truly think is. I think it's personal a lot of times. What I used to see was, alhamdulillah, through that time, my love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was built. And then I used to see people, mazallah, pointing fingers at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hurt me. So then I would think, and I would always try to, you know, be objective. I would always try to be open-minded. I would always try to understand their perspective, to understand what their question is. And why they ask these, or why they criticize whoever they do criticize. And then I would also search for the answer. Now, because I personally was affected by this, this is the reason why I myself search for the answers. And until now, I think this is the reason why I do what I do.
Jazakallah Shabazz, but I think everybody has a different reason for seeking knowledge. Like you said, you're looking at that aspect. Some people like reading on Sirah. Some people like to look up on the fiqh and improve on that. Some people are interested in the Arabic language. Everybody has a different interest. And I think from what you've said, Shabazz, by everybody's thirst for knowledge is different. I can just pray that we all have, at least have that thirst for knowledge for what is fard upon us and wajib upon us, and have thirst for knowledge so that we are in a position where we can protect our iman, the iman of our children, and the iman of the people around us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shabazz Madani, mashallah, our graduate from Jamiatul Madina, some great words of wisdom once again. Give me some words for thought, food for thought, as they say, something for me to think about, and I hope something for you to think about as well. And all I can say is I hope that we all can develop some sort of thirst for knowledge, especially the knowledge that he mentioned, which is fard upon us and wajib upon us. Like he said, the knowledge of when you're at an age that namaz becomes fard upon you, you need to have that knowledge. When fasting becomes fard upon you, knowledge of that. When zakat, when you're in a position to pay zakat, you need to have that knowledge. When you want to get married, that knowledge. When you want to start a business, that knowledge. Every step of your life that you take, you need to have the knowledge of that for you. In the same way, where if Allah Azza wa Jalla blesses you with health and wealth to be able to perform the Hajj, then you need that knowledge as well, and many, many other things as well. And I pray to Allah that we can all develop that thirst and build on that knowledge that we have and value that knowledge, which, like Shabazz Bhai said and I said early on, unfortunately now we do not value the knowledge that is readily available to us. We're going to take a small break now, inshallah, and hopefully learn something new. When we come back, we're going to continue a little bit more on this topic. Let's go to the package. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And as it says in Hadaiq Bakhshish, Sayyida Zahira Tayyiba Tahira Jani Ahmed Ki Rahat Bilakum Salam. The leader of the females, the flower, the pure, the chaste, upon the comfort to the soul of our Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wasalam, may there be hundreds of thousands of salutations. Dear respected viewers, in this couplet, Al Hazrat Ali Rahma is paying tribute to Sayyidatuna Fatima to Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. We all know that Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is the most beloved daughter of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidi Al Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi is paying tribute to her with the words of immense honor and dignity. He is explaining in the first stanza of this couplet that Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is so blessed and so beloved to Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that he should be addressed with the best of words. Sayyidi Al-Azad rahmatullahi ta'ala uses carefully chosen words, the leader of the females, Sayyida. This is because indeed Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is the leader and queen of the females in this world and holy paradise. Then he says, Zahira, the flower. This is because she is the beloved daughter of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and has inherited his beauty and fragrance. And not only has she attained his apparent beauty and fragrance, but she has also inherited the fragrance and beauty of true iman from beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Then he alayhi rahma uses the word tayyaba, meaning the pure. This is without any doubt. The Holy Quran has announced the purity of the noble family of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha is the heartbeat of the family of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Then Al-Hazrat uses the word Tahira, meaning the chaste. This is because Sayyidatuna Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha was truly virtuous and chaste. She was so pure that Imam Nabhani rahmatullahi ta'ala mentions that none of her salah was ever made qada. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Sayyiduna Ibn Abd radiallahu ta'ala anhu states, Amir al-Mu'mineen Hazrat Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, O Ibn Abd, should I not inform you about Fatima and I? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, from amongst the Ahl Bayt, the most honored and respected by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was my wife Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. She would run the mill until she had blisters in her hands, and she would fill and carry water in the leather water pouch. She would also clean the house by herself, due to which her clothes would become dusty, and she would also light the fire under the pots for cooking, due to which her clothes would become stained. At times, due to having to do all the household works by herself, she would have to bear immense hardship. Dear respected viewers, it is mentioned in Tirmizi Sharif that when she would visit Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, then he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam would stand up to welcome her and would kiss her and make her sit where he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam sat. Similarly, when Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam would visit her, she would stand up to welcome him and would let him kiss her with affection and let Nabi Kareem alayhi salatu wa salam sit where she usually said. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala shower countless blessings upon the shrine of Sayyida Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and forgive us for her sake. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, some beautiful Madani pearls there from Rizwan Bhai from London. With regards to something that Shabazz Madani mentioned, he actually mentioned obviously visiting the resting place of Data Sahib Rahmatullah Ta'ala. And this again is something that we should try and do. We should try and visit the resting places of our pious predecessors. There are many great rewards that we can get that. With regards to that, Sayyidina Imam Ismail Haqqi Rahmatullah Ta'ala stated that the bodies of the prophets, the saints and the martyrs neither change nor decompose in their graves, because Allah Azza wa Jal preserves their bodies from decomposing. And Allama Sheikh Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delvi Rahmatullah Ta'ala said that the saints of Allah are transferred from this mortal world to the endless world, and they are alive with the Rabb Allah Azza wa Jal. They are provided with sustenance and are pleased, but people are unaware for this. And there are many examples, viewers on the channel, where people have gone there
and they have done dua there, and they have received what they are wanted. These people intercede for us. So please go and make and visit the do dua there. People recite Fatiha there. In the same way, views them, inshallah, that we should also go and visit the graves of our loved ones, especially on the day of Friday. Go and do Fatiha for them, go and do dua for them. This is again something that we should do. And again, alhamdulillah, when I go to the graveyard, I try and go to the graveyard every week. I see that, alhamdulillah, there are a lot of people that are there. But at the same time, I see a lot of graves where I feel that people aren't visiting, people aren't coming to them graves. Please make a habit of visiting your deceased ones in the graves. Go and do dua for them, pray for them. Try and do good deeds for them and make an intention that you perform these good deeds so that the blessings of them good deeds will be passed on to them. And the more good deeds that you perform with the intention of passing them rewards onto them, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, they will benefit them. So we need to do good deeds, Isa alayhi salam, and pass it on to our deceased. And you know, one thing I personally realized, viewers mentioned, that Dawat Islami is that platform, that environment that gives you countless opportunities to perform good deeds. And if you attach yourself to this environment of Dawat Islami and perform these good deeds with the intention that you're passing them on to your deceased loved ones, to the people that are passed before you, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, they'll be rewarded. And inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, you'll be rewarded. Life is very, very short, viewers of the channel. And before we know it, we're going to all be in that dark and lonely grave. And the only thing that we're going to take in that dark and lonely grave are our good deeds. So whilst we are here, try and avail this opportunity, perform good deeds, learn and acquire the knowledge of the deen, as Shabazz Madani said, acquire that knowledge that is farz upon us, act upon us, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can all have that thirst inside us. Shabazz Madani, as he mentioned, he has that thirst for learning about the companions, learning about their lives, and you know, defending them, you know, in a way that they should be defended. In the same way, other people have that thirst for learning about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about learning about fiqh, about learning about history, about learning about Arabic, and learning about mantiq, and all these other topics. People have that thirst inside them. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we have this thirst inside us. If not for all of these specific topics that we mentioned, at least for the knowledge that is forth upon us. And Dawat Islami is providing you those with those platforms, be it in the form of our Fasane Namaz courses, Zakat courses, books on this, booklets on this, videos on these, courses on this. Please attach yourself to the environment of Dawat Islami so that you can acquire that knowledge that, as Shabazz Madani said, is forth upon you. Yes, forth upon you, obligatory upon you to acquire. And I hope that we can all be blessed with acquiring the knowledge and have that thirst of the knowledge inside us. Viewers of the Mother Channel, today you've been watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Again, we've just scratched the surface and introduced one of our pious predecessors and a little bit about their life. And as Shabazz Madani said, his resting place is in Lahore in Pakistan. If you ever get the opportunity to visit that city, then please go and visit his resting place and gain the blessings there. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward us all, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive all our sins through the works and the deeds and the actions and the sacrifices of our pious predecessors. You've been watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla, next week we'll be back with new topics. But in the meantime, keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. The universe is the body and its soul.